Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. And we all know how we are supposed to take care of ourselves. And when I think of a guest that I had on a few times on my show, Jack LaLanne, who passed away at the age of 96, this is a man that was totally dedicated to wellness. Now, I have a lady with me today who is very much of that same mindset, but she comes from a little bit of a different angle. I have with me Lorraine Holden. Her book is called Don't Get Thin, Get Healthy. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it is a delight having you. You are a woman that doesn't let any grass grow underneath your feet. You have an MS in physiology, and you spent 3 years in medical school. You have done research through the years. You used to write for a drug company, and you taught pre-med subjects. And you really, in your book, are adamant about educating people as far as health goes. Why is it that this has become such a passion for you?
Well, it all started when I overcame arthritis about 15 years ago.
You actually overcame arthritis?
Well, overcame the symptoms of it anyway.
Oh, wow.
I had been going around either with crutches or a cane and taking ibuprofen, and my doctor was saying, well, you have osteoarthritis, probably from an old injury, and there's nothing you can do about it, but try to keep active. Take the pain pills as you need to. Well, I was starting to use 8 or 10 pills a day, and I thought, well, this is no good. Then I saw Dr. Andrew Weil on television, and he says the reason Asians don't get as much arthritis as Westerners is they use a lot of ginger root in their cooking. So I started using ginger root, and within a year, I could again ride my bicycle, didn't have to use a cane wherever I went. And last month, I went on an extensive hiking program with Elder Hostel.
Wow. Now, I need to let my listeners know, you're a vibrant 84 years young. And there are so many people that I meet that are in their 60s that look like they're ready to fall over. And I'm not saying this out of disrespect. I am saying it because they did not at that time take active interest. And here you are at 84 years of age. You look absolutely marvelous. And you are living life with purpose and passion. And this book, you really put a lot of effort into it because you have taken a lot of the medical background and training that you have acquired, and you have put it into this book. In fact, you are adamant that we need to get off of what you call the fat phobia. Boy, is that something that I think so many of us have. My goodness, it's promoted on television all the time. The fat phobia, when do you think it originated, and why do you think, well, I know it's commercial economics, but why do you think it's so difficult for people to get out of that cycle?
Well, you're right. It is a mindset that has been around a long time, but in the past 30 years, when certain books came out advocating no fat, not even avocados or olives, or everything should be low fat, just because fat appears in the plaque that might clog your arteries does not mean that the fat came from your diet. Dietary fat is absorbed differently than amino acids and glucose. It goes directly to a vessel that goes to your heart. Your heart prefers to burn fat. So fat is an energy food. Also, your muscles prefer to burn fat. It's a very efficient type of energy food. But, you know, people see fat and they think it looks ugly, and then they say, well, you know, I'm on this diet, but I don't think I can eat any fat because I have plenty of fat to draw from. It doesn't work that way. If you don't eat fat, you're not building up the intracellular enzymes that burn fat, and you're also increasing the enzymes in your liver that change carbohydrates into fat. So, don't avoid fat. It's not eating fat that's making you fat.
That is such a true statement, and I think for women especially, it's for the guys, but most guys I've ever met have more sense than we gals do, and they'll have their fat, and they don't worry about it too much. But we have evolved in a culture so much to do what I call the heavier carbohydrate diet, and so many times it's the type of fat that take in. And if you have butter or coconut oil, or to get your fat from avocados, if you have olive oil, all of that the body really uses. And it is so important to be able to balance the blood flow with that. I mean, there's such a myth and such a lie out there, and so many women are suffering from skin conditions, cellular conditions that they otherwise don't. And in your book, you say people who are 70 years of age, the likelihood of them being able to live to be 100 or more is increasing substantially.
Right, but unless they take care of themselves, they're very likely to get Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, and one of the biggest things, especially with seniors, is all of the medications they're taking. There is so little that is understood about the interaction with medications, the metabolic processes, and the foods you take in. So there's just all of this chemistry wacko stuff going on, and it's really tough. But look at you. You decided to take the initiative. Now, I'm not saying you don't value doctors. I'm saying you realized that you had to take the positioning of action. And my goodness, I have friends that I'm going to share your tip with who suffer from arthritis terribly, and they don't need to.
Absolutely. Although rheumatoid arthritis is another thing. That is a much more serious disease. But the common osteoarthritis, which most people get, is what can be alleviated by ginger root.
That is amazing.
But you have to use those joints.
Yes, you do.
Can't
You've
just
got
sit
to
move. Around.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now, Lorraine, you have a chapter in your book on what is normal, and this is something that has always been a pet peeve of mine. You can take two people, same build, same height, let's say two women, and they have these charts that are out there, and one might be considered fat according to the chart, but she has a beautiful figure. The other one may be considered the perfect weight, and she is not healthy. Tell us the difference. What is normal? How would you classify normal?
Well, I say it's individual. Just like in the animal kingdom, not all plant eaters look like a gazelle. There are zebras who have nice rounded curves. And if you are like a human zebra, if you try to be a gazelle, you're going to end up looking like a hippo.
I don't think any of us like the image of looking like a hippo. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
They've got cute ears, but the rest of them, too big. Hippos like them, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you say in your book, scales can be deceiving. Don't get carried away by numbers, and don't try to get thin. So I can just hear people saying, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What do you mean, don't try to get thin? That's what we want to do. We want to really look at that size 6 or size 4 person that we see on television. We say, I want to look like that. I don't want to have any body fat on me. What would you say to them?
I'd say that they're being taken in by the industry. There are so many healthy medium weight people who think if I could only just lose 10, 15 pounds, that'd be perfect. And that puts them on the roller coaster of going up and down with many different diets year after year after year. And they never do stay thin because their body genetics is not programmed that way.
And I think that's important to understand. And it's a very sad state of affairs. But I like to think that people, especially women, are becoming more aware of appreciating their own health and their own wellness and realizing that if they take good care of themselves and if they eat good food and healthy food and they have their supplements, they're going to be able to really reach a balance with their body without going through extremism.
Absolutely.
You talk, and let's talk about diet for a minute. You talk about a Dr. T.L. Cleave, who was a surgeon captain in the British Royal Navy. Now, this goes back a few years. He did research about from 1900 to 1970, I think it was. Tell us about his attitude regarding fiber. The disease diverticulosis is, gee whiz, so many people have this, or Crohn's, or something like this. Go into that a little bit. What was your research findings on fiber?
Well, according to Dr. Cleave, who studied primitive tribes and found that when they started eating a Western diet, which is very bland and without fiber, then they started to get the metabolic diseases of civilization, the heart disease, the diabetes, and all of those things. And diverticulosis can be caused if a person has not enough fiber in their diet and they're straining to defecate, and so those little outcroppings appear on their colon, which can collect seeds and other things. Absolutely unnecessary if they had enough fiber in the diet.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And something that happens with fiber, too, and you bring this up, and I remember a book that came out, oh my goodness, this was a number of years ago. It was called The 8-Week Cholesterol Cure, and I don't remember the name of the author. But he really endorsed oat bran, and I noticed in your book you mentioned that. Why is oat bran so significant in a person's diet?
Well, it can be significant if you're really afraid of cholesterol. Most people don't need to be, but it does have a type of soluble fiber which will absorb cholesterol, so it goes out of the body. But that brings me to another pet peeve. People are afraid of cholesterol, and your body needs cholesterol. If you didn't have it, you'd be dead, because it's in every cell. It's 2/3 of your brain are fat and cholesterol. So you should not be afraid of cholesterol, and don't try to make it as low as possible.
Yes, that's scary. They keep lowering the numbers, and it's just not healthy at all. There's just been some real fabulous research that has come out, and there's some very significant people, physicians, that have taken that positioning as well. So your research that you present in your book, Don't Get Thin, Get Healthy, gives this detail as well, and that is just what you've mentioned, and also how important it is to the brain. They are making a direct link between the severe drop in cholesterol production in the body and the brain, because those nerve endings, those highways of nerves, cholesterol is part of that, what I want to say, the sheath of connection. And it allows the transmission of information in the brain to go on. So cholesterol is invaluable to the wellness of a person.
And in fact, the doctor's aides have a chart in their book, Protein Power, which shows that even though there is some correlation between death and from heart disease when cholesterol is very high, 650 to 1,000 or so forth, but below 160, there is a growing death rate from other factors like homicide, suicide, cancer, from too low cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to keep it in that normal range, let's say 160 to 240.
Mm-hmm. And it's a balance. Every person's body is different.
Absolutely.
Every person's body is different. And for women, they have found the cholesterol levels naturally go up higher as women get older. And it seems to be part of the body's mechanism to ensure health for the female, which I find extremely interesting. And this was a French study that I read about many years ago. And they said they were interviewing women that were like your age and in their 90s, and they were very active and they were doing things, and they found that they had higher levels of cholesterol, but they were healthy. There was nothing wrong with them.
That's right. It is an individual thing. I have a friend who's in the Special Forces who, he speaks seven languages, including Arabic, so he cannot afford to be on any kind of pills.
Mm-hmm.
His cholesterol is usually around 270. His blood pressure is also higher than normal. He does not take any pills, and he remains healthy. And he's now I think he's in his 60s or approaching 70.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. You talk about something that I thought, gee, this is an interesting title to a chapter. What could be more harmful than obesity? What is more harmful than obesity? I mean, this is the big hot thing right now, the massive amount of obesity in the United States and the concern and everybody wanting to control everybody's food intake, et cetera. What is this that you've discovered that can be even more dangerous than obesity?
Well, remember, obesity is not a cause of disease. It's a symptom of disease or a symptom of the incorrect lifestyle. But what can be very damaging is if a person, through the years, has been eating a lot of products which contain insecticides, which includes animals grown in a factory farm. These people, when they lose their fat on a crash diet, all those insecticides go into their system. And that is what can be dangerous to them. And particularly if they go up and down for many, many years, they are being subjected to those insecticides and other toxins many, many times.
You talk about allergies and food addiction. Now, with your medical background and the research that you've done, let's address that. You talk about it, and a lot of people have, in fact, I was talking with a young lady just this past Sunday, and I made a comment to her that she had to be very careful about what she ate, and especially anything that had wheat in it. And she said, oh, wow, is that ever true? Because I can't have any gluten. And she said, it's the combination of foods that can really make me ill. It was very interesting. Certain food combinations don't work well. And I notice you bring up in your book, eating according to blood type. Let's talk a little bit about allergies, food addictions, eating according to blood type. Give us your perspective.
Well, I think Dr. D'Amo, who talks about eating according to the blood type, it's sort of a simplistic thing. It tells about the migration of early people and the foods they ate. But it doesn't work in real life because most people are a combination of all of these different backgrounds. So I don't go along with his ideas.
All right, so let's address the allergens then.
Okay, now, this is where it is so important. Even years ago when I was in medical school, my pediatrics professor said that one of the worst things a mother can do is to give up breastfeeding or feeding milk too soon and try to give the child solid foods because the child's gut is not fully developed, and then is when they can absorb some of these whole proteins from the solid food, and that can get into their system and form antibodies, and they are the people who are going to be allergic to the wheat or the soy or whatever else, because they had their little system wasn't prepared for solid food at that point.
You also talk about improving the brain cognition, and if someone has gone through some kind of a trauma, brain chemicals, you bring out the information about amino acids. Talk to us about the amino acids and their value.
Well, Dr. Julia Ross is the one who really has gone into that subject. She used to be a person who took care of drug addicts, and then she decided that maybe she should look at food addictions. The worst addiction, of course, being to sugar. It's very hard for a person to get rid of that addiction because it makes you feel so good when you get sugar into your brain to give you the serotonin and other good chemicals. But she analyzes people, has a protocol of about, I think, 6 months, whereby depending on the type of person and what they're missing, she gives specific amino acids, and then she says, for the rest of your life, eat more protein and get your amino acids that way.
That is a very interesting perspective, because so many people are saying, give up the proteins. Get your proteins from grains or get your proteins from certain vegetable combinations. And some people can seemingly do that, but I know I can't. I cannot give up the meat protein. It just doesn't fare well with my body at all. And I've talked to people that have been vegetarians that found that they really needed to have the amino acids that come in meat. And they said they went back and they felt a lot better. So it all depends on a person's physiology, but the protein is vitally important.
Absolutely. In fact, the nutritionist who used to work with Jack LaLanne, that's Patricia Bragg and her father, they say that protein, well, look at your hand. Protein is represented by the thumb, the most important item in your diet. Then three fingers for fruits and vegetables, and then the little pinky for oils and sugars and other little things, but protein, most important.
Well, when you think of so many cultures, like the Eskimo culture, the Native Americans up in Alaska, their diet was high, high, high fat. Of course, they lived in extreme cold for most of the year, but lots of meat. They didn't have vegetables, but during the summer months, unless they managed to dry things and bulbs and this type of thing, which they would try to do. They would collect and then try to keep it for the winter months. But basically, it was the meat and the fat, and there was a writer whose name is escaping me right now that went hunting in a village because they hadn't been able to get caribou. They were living on fish, and they had only dried fish to take with them. And even though that was a protein, they really started getting negative side effects until they were able to find the caribou herd, kill a caribou, and they literally ate the meat raw, and within minutes, their bodies were back to normal. It's a fascinating phenomena that we have with the human body. And your book, Don't Get Thin, Get Healthy, covers so many different variables that you yourself as a researcher and as a woman who is in her mature years and is extremely active, I mean, you're out climbing Mount Rainier and do some other things, you are very active and you are so respectful of the body. How long did it take you to put this book together? It's really quite an interesting read.
Well, after I got rid of the arthritis, I decided that if a simple thing like ginger could help that, I should research some other, quote, incurable diseases. And it took me about 5 years, reading scientific journals, going on the internet, reading other books, etc.
How important is vitamin B?
Did you say B or D?
B.
B? Oh.
Yes.
All of your metabolic activities to burn any food for energy is dependent on B vitamins. And so important. In fact, when I was in medical school, there was one woman who had a myriad of conditions that I thought, oh, we'll prescribe this drug, that drug, the other drug. And the resident said, no, that woman is lacking the B vitamins. So he said, tell her to have a tablespoon of brewer's yeast twice a day, in the morning and at night, stir it into her soup or whatever, and those symptoms will gradually disappear.
Brewer's yeast, that is something you don't hear people speaking of very often, and that has been around forever.
Oh, yeah, as long as we've had beer, we've had brewer's yeast.
I mean, that, yes, in fact, in Europe, beer was considered a food.
Absolutely, liquid bread.
Mm-hmm, and that is something that kept people alive because it was done in a particular way where, as you mentioned, all of that nutrient was in there. Of course, I do know if you have too much beer, you can end up looking like a beer stein if you're not careful, but it's not one of my favorite beverages. But I do know that real beer, if it's, especially if it's not pasteurized, the old-fashioned way of making beer, it was really rich in nutrients.
Absolutely.
Now, vitamin D is in the news quite a bit, and you go into a lot of detail, but you bring up a nutrient that many people don't think of, and that's magnesium.
Oh, yeah, very important. It's in almost every enzymatic reaction in every cell. So if you're low on that, you're going to have poor health as well as poor bones, because you need both magnesium and calcium for your bones.
Well, I know that with the information that you have in your book, you go into nutraceuticals, you talk about Andrew Weil, you talk about so many different individuals, and one of your most important statements is, and I advocate this, that we have to take charge of our health. You are a woman that has dedicated years of your life to research and studying, being involved in the medical field, teaching classes, now putting this book out, Don't Get Thin, Get Healthy. What comment would you want to make to the listeners about taking charge of their health?
Don't listen to the common information you're getting on from the media or from the drug advertisements or what is considered common knowledge. All of those things have a grain of truth, but a lot of misinformation that is making billions for the drug industry, making billions for the food industry, and harming your health, and may well make Medicare go insolvent if too many people are eating too much high fructose corn syrup.
Well, I do think, Lorraine, that your book is loaded with a lot of wisdom, a lot of very practical, down-to-earth information. You have listed all kinds of things regarding, well, research items that people can check out and suggestions that you have for others. You also have a daily food worksheet that if someone wanted to use that, they could. But the bibliography that you have here, articles, books, etc., it's quite impressive. And I think that to have it in one's library and to share it with friends, it can really be liberating. So, Lorraine, I really appreciate the fact that you did this publication. I met you in New York, and little did I realize that you were 84 years of age until I got your email from you, and you stated that in the email. You definitely look substantially younger than 84, and with someone that has this vibrant an attitude, just like Jack LaLanne did, I think you're a wonderful example to those of us who are younger and can really take charge of our lives and enjoy good health. Now, your website is don'tgetthin-gethealthy. Don'tgetthin-gethealthy. get healthy. And you can find out more about Lorraine Holden and all of the information that she has on her site. Lorraine, thank you for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this.
It has been a very fun experience. Don't get thin. Get healthy.
Right.
Check it out. You have nothing to lose and a lot to gain, and I'm not talking about pounds either. I'm talking about understanding and knowledge. This lady did her homework. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a little bit, so don't go away. More good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and hey, if you want me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's toll-free worldwide, and I'll be glad to give you information about yourself. Give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Lisette Larkins about difficult people. Ugh. Have you ever encountered a few? I don't think anybody can get through life without encountering one of those kind of people. Well, we're going to find out how to get along with them, or, well, maybe not necessarily get along with them, but know how to interact in situations that otherwise can make you, well, go through a lot of various emotions that are not so positive. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Margaret McLean. Her book is called Under Fire. Wow, is it a powerhouse? It is about law, and it is about a murder case. Oh, it's really a hot thing. So I'll tell you what, it is a dynamic book. It's a great book for summer reading, and it will keep your mind doing a tap dance like you wouldn't believe. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Murray Grossen. We're going to be talking about stress, the impact that stress has on your life. And this is a physician that's very dedicated to helping people understand they don't need to end up getting sick, they don't need to have health problems because of stress and ways that you can handle it. So we've got a dynamic lineup this week, and if ever you want to find out who's coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, all you need to do is go into bbsradio.com, go to Donna Sebo Show, and check out show information, and you'll see a list of all of the people that I have coming up, and also you'll have information on a little bit of what we're going to be discussing. So just keep that in mind. And again, 888-627-6008 if you would like for me to give you an intuitive reading. Would you like to travel the world? Well, having talked to flight attendants in fact, one that I spoke with on Sunday, who does travel around the world. She goes to Dubai. She goes to South America. She goes to Europe. She has traveled all over the world. Not everybody's going to want to be a flight attendant. Well, if you really love to travel, here are some some suggestions for you that you might want to look at. There's so many different ways that if travel is your passion and you'd like to work in an environment that that is going to be complementary with, well, why not become a travel writer? That's right. You can find out about people that do exactly that. They're writers, and because of what they do, if they're working for certain travel magazines or various television programs or other environments associated with travel, it enables them to go from one point to another. Also, there is the job, what they say, a FAB job guide to travel writing. There is a publication that includes detailed information on how you can become a successful travel writer. And Media Bistro, I'd never heard of this. Of course, there's a lot of things I haven't heard of. MediaBistro.com. These are training programs. You can check them out. So if you want to become a travel writer, you can explore that particular site. And I'm not in a position to say, gee, these courses are great. I don't know. I just am giving you this information because you need to know there's some options. Also, there's an option of teaching English overseas. Now, I do know a number of people that have decided they wanted to do that. I've known of people that have gone to Japan, Korea, Europe, Africa, just about any place in the world that is needing English teachers. Now, what the information is that you have to have at least a bachelor's degree if you want to do it. But if you have advanced training and either a certificate in ESL or a master's degree in TESOL, you will have even more opportunities coming your way. And most of these teaching programs require at least a one-year commitment. And earnings can range from a small stipend up to $50,000 a year, dependent on where you're going and your level of expertise. And if you spend a full calendar year abroad, your income might be exempted from U.S. taxes. And I've known a lot of people through the years that have done overseas work, and they were exempted from U.S. taxes. I don't know how long that would last, but that is something you need to be aware of. Also, you can work on a cruise ship. Do you think you'd like to do that? Well, it's another venue that many people don't even think of, but it is available, and they have positions from full-time staff to part-time gigs as onboard lecturers, fitness instructors, and even dance partners. Yep, all of that is available to you. And then you might want to become a tour director and manager. Because I've traveled so much up into Alaska, and of course the tours start, I think it's about May the 18th and they end about September the 18th. And through my years of traveling up there, there are people that they'll sign on for tour guide positioning as a part-time job, and they're very much involved with that. So they're on buses, they're on trains, they are with all kinds of groups, and many companies always have ads out wanting people to be in for that short period of time. Well, that could be anywhere in the country. So you can go to an international guide academy. There's also professional tour management training. And there's just so many different things that you can look at. In today's changing world, we may wonder if there is a place for us. What can we do? Maybe you're in a line of work that you just said, I'm burned out. I don't want to do this anymore. So consider the travel industry. There's also the hospitality side. You have your hotels and you have different places that may enable you to have an opportunity to work in, let's say, Hawaii for certain months out of the year. You just never know. So be open and receptive to opportunities because they are out there, and sometimes they come in guise that we normally wouldn't give a blink of time or interest to. And talking about traveling, what about kids? Oh, my goodness. If you've traveled with children, which I have, you've really got to be on your toes. And there is a wonderful, wonderful lady. And in fact, her name is Lila Alphonse. And this is a mother of five kids. And she said, when you're traveling with five kids, you know, you need one of those minivans when you're traveling with that much family. She said she's always on the lookout for items that will help her have a more enjoyable trip with the children, wherever they go. And of course, they're of different ages. But she said, you need a carry-on for kids anymore, especially if you're flying, but even if you're traveling in a car or on a train or by bus. And this is something I can remember, you know, years ago, always planning for. I think mothers do this because otherwise they feel like they're going to go insane. Kids are active. They need to have things to keep them busy. You would have coloring books or you'd have games. You have something there. Well, here we are in the technology age, so electronic equipment can be very handy. And I was in an environment yesterday, and I was watching this little girl, and she had this little game board that she was playing handheld. She couldn't have been more than 4 years of age, and she was totally occupied. Mom was busy and doing something, and her little girl was perfectly happy playing this game on her handheld computer, if you will. And that is something that is really a good idea. CDs, tapes, DVD players, and sometimes if you are lucky enough to have a player in your van of whatever vehicle you've got, the kids can watch stuff, and that's a good way to keep them occupied. But there are a lot of games, a lot of books, different things that they can have in their packs that they can choose to take with them that will keep them occupied. And she also said, make sure you have drinks and snacks. Kids are munchers. They always want something to eat. They always want something to drink. And that is why you want to have little bits of something that you can give them. And you can give them healthy snacks that they're going to enjoy. And I had not heard of an item called bear hugs. Have you heard of them? Well, apparently they are U-shaped blankets that fold up into a pillow. And the child, they're especially for kids, and the child can wear the bear hugs as a backpack or, you know, keep it with them. And so if your kid is one that doesn't like to let go of their blanket, this is an item that you can take with you that's with them all the time, and they can be comfortable. And sometimes in a vehicle or on a plane, it gets chilly, and having something portable like that is really great. And if you have a problem with your children when you're flying, where they get pain in their ears when the planes are taking off or landing, goodness gracious, I've listened to a lot of babies cry on planes when I've traveled, and they're screaming when their ears are just in agony. Well, there are wonderful things called motion sickness relief bands. You can talk to your pharmacist about them. They're drug-free, but they help if a child has motion sickness, that'll help. And earplanes, earplugs can help children and adults to keep from having the problems with their ears. Now, with if you've got real tiny children with you, you know, having a bottle or a pacifier is a great thing. But lots of times, if you have children that are older, tell them to chew some gum or tell them to suck on a lollipop. I knew a woman gynecologist who was in her 50s. She would suffer every time she had to take a plane flight with her ears just in excruciating pain. She learned about lollipops, so she says, now I'm like a kid. I have a lollipop with me on the plane, and I'm just sucking on that thing like crazy, and I don't have a problem with my ears anymore. So those are just a couple of things, and also be sure you pack extra outfits for your kids in an easy-to-reach place when you travel, and don't forget to take care of yourself because you want to make sure that you have enough for yourself. And I like this last item, tracking devices. If you have little ones or if you have a bunch of kids with you, there's something called the Giggle Bug Toddler Tracker. Try saying that fast five times. Well, apparently, it is like those units that you have on your car keys when you want to find your car. Well, this one is louder, and you can clip it onto your kid in a way where they have to have it with them. They can't knock it off. And by golly, you'll be able to find your kid. Interesting thing. Also, there's just so many things. I would say check out Lila M. Alphonse. She is just a great gal. She writes the 36-hour day here at Work It Mom. And she is just a dynamic gal. She's, like I said, anybody that's got five kids, I have a lot of sympathy for them, especially if they're traveling. But that's just what you do. When you're a mom, you just take care of things like that. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to share some other things with you when we come back, and I'd love to share my intuitive skills with you as well. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Get your pad of paper handy and a pen. I've got a recipe for barbecue chicken and sweet potatoes that is absolutely wonderful. But before we go to that, I wanted to share with you, I really got a kick out of this little story. It was by Mark Rosullo. And he said, I'm a lousy bow hunter, a fact that was driven home to me by my 10-year-old niece. Handing me an arrow that she found in the woods, the child's name was Gina, she said, I figured it was yours. There was no deer on the end of it. Ooh, don't you just love honesty on the part of kids? Yeah, right. We all appreciate that. But kids are that way. They'll tell you the way they see it. It's really terrific, I think. They don't know anything about tact, and that's something hopefully they'll learn, but they do give it to you straight. Animals, as those of you know who listen to the show on a regular basis, are very, very special and dear to my heart. And I have this story about an Auburn quarter horse, Stormy. Now, she was a rescue horse, and she had worked as a therapy animal with kids, those children that have disabilities. And she had done this work for 3 years, and horses are absolutely amazing with kids. Well, the stable that had had this program had to move her out because they needed younger horses. She was getting up there in years. However, there was a family, it was the Leonard family of Sulphur, Louisiana, had been wanting to get a horse for their young daughter, who was 9 years old. Now, Stormy was 30 years old. So we're talking about a horse that is really just absolutely going to be awesome for a 9-year-old. And the two of them just clicked when they met. Well, Emma became just absolutely, totally engrossed with taking care of Stormy. And she gave her pedicures, and she'd ride her every day, which is something that you need to do with a horse. Well, apparently, during the month of September last year, she was riding on Stormy, and her brother, who is 7 years old, now remember, Emma, she is nine, her brother is seven, and he had a rubber band gun with him. Because he's like all little boys, he's wanting to carry something with him just in case they need to protect themselves. Well, they were all together, and they were going on Stormy down an area of country road They had a lot of deer trails. And she, Emma, guided her horse up this one narrow trail. And it was tangled with a lot of vines and underbrush. And her brother didn't want to ride, wanted to walk. So that's what he was doing. Well, Stormy became very, very agitated, extremely agitated. And Emma heard something in the woods behind her, and she didn't know what it was. What she saw that was coming at her with tremendous speed was a feral boar, and they are exceedingly dangerous. She said it was really, really ugly looking, had extremely sharp tusks, and it was stomping, snorting, and it got within 6 feet of her brother. And her brother was just absolutely still. He was terrified. Well, that probably was a good thing. Stormy, because Emma had gotten off of him, she was very concerned about her brother. The horse went directly past this wild pig that was doing all of this foot stomping and snorting and was ready to attack. And he walked up to the little boy and put his head down and gently nudged him so that he would move. Just very gently did that. And the boar, as soon as the little boy started moving, saw the action of the horse, decided it was going to charge. But Stormy turned around and lashed out with her hind legs and hit the boar in the face. And if you've ever been around horses, you don't want to be behind them when they do something like this. Well, the boar was in so much pain, it ran off into the woods. And Emma and her brother, Liam, got back up on the horse and ride home. And the mother said, I could hardly understand anything that they were saying. They were just absolutely, absolutely talking a mile a minute. And, of course, they were very frightened once everything was over. But Stormy knew what to do and took care of those kids. Emma said, this is my horse. She loves me. That's a wise little girl. Well, I've got this recipe for barbecue chicken and sweet potatoes, and I don't think I'm going to have time to share it with you, so I have to share it with you tomorrow. But I wanted to share a tip about chicken, and I tried this. I've not ever done it before, and I love to cook, and I don't often have the time to do it. But if you want to have fried chicken, if you want to do chicken at any time, and you want that chicken to be absolutely moist, yummy and scrumptious, soak it in buttermilk. I never, ever tried it. And I saw it on a cooking show, and I thought, okay, I'm going to see if this really works. I don't think the buttermilk is going to make that much of a difference, but I'll do that. So I got some buttermilk, so some chicken in it, and I was astonished at how moist and delicious that chicken was. And I picked some fried chicken, and I thought, well, this might dry out, this type of thing. No, it really was the moist, most moist fried chicken I'd ever fixed. And the same goes with something if you're going to grill it or you're going to broil it. If you'll soak your chicken in the buttermilk and then just take it out and let it drain, you leave it in for at least 24 hours. Just put it in a bowl and cover the chicken with the buttermilk and just let it sit. You will be amazed at the tenderness. And you're not going to have a buttermilk taste. I was expecting something like that to be affecting. Not at all. It's yummy. So tomorrow I'll share the recipe for the barbecue chicken and sweet potatoes. It's really good. You can fix it in the oven or you can fix it on the grill. So what I want to do is just mention quickly, if you're in Western Washington, don't forget to come out to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair in Bonnie Lake. I'm going to be there this weekend. It is an incredible family event that is awesome. I met a neighbor of mine today, and they said this was wonderful. They took their two grandsons with them, and they said it was a blast. The boys loved the jousting. They loved all of the various games that could be played. They have so many things going on there. You'll see a metal maker who is building a dragon. You have all kinds of wonderful people displaying old ways of producing cloth, weaving. It is just Wonderful. Of course, I'm going to be there in my booth. Look for the bright yellow banners with the gigantic red lions on them, and you'll know exactly where I am. And I'm doing many consultations there, as well as having some books and other things. As we close out, I want to say words of wisdom: live with intention, walk to the edge, listen hard, practice wellness, laugh at yourself and things that are funny, play with abandon, choose with no regret, appreciate your friends, do what you love, live as if this is all there is. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful time wherever you are. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.